took the train that kept on rolling.
Indeed. And welcome everyone to Thunderdome Metal Reviews, your church of heavy metal. I am the Reverend Dangerously. With me, as always, are the Chicken Slaughter, Tracy Newport, the Doctor, David Pizzo, and the Murder Basement, Gabriel Cooper. How is everyone
murdering?
Murder.
Yes, that's fair.
Yes.
What have you done to us, Ben? What is happening?
I don't remember if I said this on a published episode or if I just said this when we were shooting the shit, but I decided to do something different this year, in that instead of selecting a new album for a month past January, I was just going to put whatever the fuck I wanted on the schedule. And whatever the fuck I wanted to put on the schedule this year or this week for an album that came out in February was not an album that came out in February, but instead Motorhead's debut album from September 24th, 1977, Motorhead.
A good
it
year.
Is the year of the Motorhead. That's what this year is.
It's when it winners were born.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you actually said for this week, no, you mean this year. This year. It's the year.
He had those like two episodes where it was KubaCon TX, but after that, nope.
Well, that was a lead into this.
It was. Roots.
It really was.
Have as many albums after all.
That is true. They do not have 23 studio albums.
Not yet.
By the end of the year, we will have done all of Motorhead studio albums. So you're welcome, internet listeners, podcast mates.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are with a debut, a runtime of 32 minutes and 37 seconds. The lineup: Lemmy Kilmister on bass and vocals, Fast Eddie Clark on guitars, and Filthy Animal on drums, who, you know, Philip John Taylor, for those who do not know the nickname. And wow, I did not realize that all three of them were dead.
Yes. That's your fault, Ben.
It is. And the producer of this album has also passed, John Keane. So this is the thing.
Why did you write this album, Ben?
Well, I didn't write this album.
It feels like you
did. I really like this album.
It was an introduction of Ben to the world. That's what it was.
No, it feels like you wrote this album. It's length. It's punk roots. It's not giving a fuckness.
Mm-hmm.
It's excuse me.
The substantial like crossover that this could have. It would not, and a lot of people will be mad when I say this, but it would be very easy to turn this into a rockabilly / country album.
100%.
It would not be bad at all.
No. We go full punk with it. We could take it a bunch of different directions, mm-hmm. right?
And it's weird coming to this album after doing the Hawkwind album, which Lemmy had been on like a year or two previously to this. And it's like, these are very different beasts. Very different beasts at that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, especially since there are three Hawkwind covers on this album.
Yes.
So.
It's true.
Well, I think there may be one way in which, you know, some of this stuff and some of the Hawkwind stuff overlap, which is that, and it's actually like the pieces of this album, which I think are my least favorite. It's the part where Motorhead gets locked up in the hard rock room, and they kind of get stuck in what I would consider to be an older version of, you know, what they're trying to do. Or, you know, of course, like, you couldn't have punk without like the hard rock stuff. But I mean, I think there's that. There's also like sort of the drug piece of this, which, you know, obviously is very much a part of the culture of the 1960s, but also continues to, like, you know, other subcultures in the song Motorhead and in, like, Lost Johnny, White Line Fever. Like, it just, the hits keep coming, as it were.
It's not a shortage of drugs in the 70s. That's not a thing. No, they had some other problems. Not. But lack of drugs was not one of them. Ask Oski.
Well, but that's the thing, though, like, right? Because this is a very uppers album.
It is.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, we're not talking about the barbiturates. We're not talking about pot. We're not talking about that kind of stuff.
The H-train.
Yep.
The only thing that was consumed that might be considered a downer would be the alcohol.
No, it's alcohol, cocaine, and like crank, I would guess, and punching people.
Yeah. 100%.
That's what I would say. This is the combination involved here. Well, breaking your guitar. Yeah. Over someone's head, you know. Mm-hmm. Over their motor head.
Indeed.
And it, so, sorry, I was just going to ask, had anybody heard this before? Because this is my first run.
I had not listened to the entire album before, no.
I think this is my first time as well.
Because I'm a weirdo, when we did other Motorhead, I was like, I wonder what their first album's like. But not historically. I tended to listen to the Ace of Spades album, right? The one that we reviewed 2 years ago or whatever. So,
yeah.
So I'd only had, because I'm a weirdo and want extra credit like Tracy, he and I tend to be the ones like, and then we went back deep for no reason. So yeah, I listened to this a little bit when we did that other Motorhead. But yeah, historically, I tended to go to albums like 2 and 3, like a little bit later.
Yeah. Well, we do our reasons for having listened to it. The other albums is different though, David. Mine is because it just got mainlined as part of everything else and I heard it along the way. Yours like purposely went back and heard it. Mine yes. just is like, it's an innocent bystander that got caught in the mix. That's what happened with both of them.
Yeah, like I knew Bomber and Ace of Spades, obviously. I don't know Overkill very well, but I just spun this one once when we were reviewing Ace of Spades because I was curious.
This was the first time for me as well. I don't think I'd listened to this one. I had listened to Little Motorhead on my own, but not. I don't think I ever got to this one. But it was interesting kind of looking at this and the formation of the band because, like, Lemmy already had essentially a record deal in hand when the band formed, which is very, for this time especially, odd. Like, it worked that way. I guess his experience with Hawkwind and the Records X there made it to where he just needed to find somebody to fill out and they'd be ready to go.
And yeah, ready to go it was.
Yeah, because
I mean, to Gabe's point, that like, I do see, can easily see this being stuck in the hard rock thing, but this is like, kind of in a sweet spot, and we'll test as we go through their discography. I'm sure we'll notice variations because they have some albums that are just straight up punk and some that are very metal influenced. Whereas this one had more solos on it than I thought I was going to hear, especially for the debut album. And that could just be because, again, I don't know their early catalog outside of Ace of Spades super well. But this reminds me of so many other early British albums, like the first couple of Led, or at least the first Led Zeppelin album, a couple of Stones and everything else, because of the number of covers on it. And the fact that it is so, yeah, you have like rudimentary punk, you have rudimentary hard rock, you have rudimentary metal, but it's all just, and this is going to be the story all the way through, but it's also blues based.
Yeah. And they would ever like say like they're a speedy band when it came to play in the sense of, like, they didn't write songs fast, they just played songs fast. That was how that's how they would distinguish the difference. It's like they just played long songs quick. They didn't write short songs.
We've talked about how they asserted it's not metal at all.
Yeah. Right. And hearing this album, there were times that, like, I'd hear a note and I could kind of like my mind would dip into their counterparts from Australia that we covered about 2 years ago. And like, I'm about to hear an AC/DC song. Like, I just wait for Bon Scott's vocals to come in. Cause there's a lot of similarities you can see here, like from their play style and just overall sound between the two. And I think it's part of a convergent.
A lot of the same
convergent evolution.
Too.
Yeah. 100%. Who amongst us is not writing hard rock and punk fusion while on cocaine in the 70s? I mean, this is how it's going to come out. I mean, we've all been there, right?
Right. So,
me at age 6 months, just doing lines, writing riffs. So I still think this record is a lot of fun, though. This is good shit.
It is.
I like this. I mean, of course.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can... All the elements of what Motorhead becomes are here.
Yes.
Even if it doesn't really, it is not Motorhead as I think of Motorhead yet. No. But that's cool. Agreed. To hear that.
Okay. You know, quick. It's Motorhead, but it's not the perfected Motorhead sound.
Well, that first Sabbath album you all reviewed is pretty different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Than the one people often, than Paranoid, which people often think it was their first album, but it's not. So.
Yep.
I think a lot of people think of Ace of Spades as sort of their There's like three before it or whatever.
Yeah, and one that, and I don't know. I'd have to go back and look through it, and I didn't do that for this, but that might have been the first one to come out in the States too, because you never can tell.
That's a good point. Yeah, because it's a Motorhead, then Overkill, then Bomber, then Ace of Spades, and I don't know the release history in the U.S.
Yeah, me either. But, you know, there are a few nitpicks that I have with this album, aside from, like, the covers, which, you know, Lemmy was at least in Hawkwind, so he has as much right to do them as anybody else, I guess.
Yeah.
But the production is not the greatest. It definitely sounds like an artifact of its time. But with that said, I still did really love the bass tone and the guitars on this.
Yep. You guys are right. Ace of Spades was the first one to debut in the U.S.
That's what I thought.
And Lemmy's vocals on this also, is like he's actually kind of more singing instead of kind of getting his raspy, kind of, I don't know, not quite growl, but his raspy voice isn't quite a thing of itself yet.
A lot of smoking and cocaine, I think, happened between this
and whiskey.
And whiskey. All the food groups happened.
Yeah, all the three major food groups for artists of the 70s.
Yeah. So, yeah, he does some damage to himself, but he wore it well. Legend. How'd you feel about the bass playing on here? I mean, obviously, Ben, I'm King Who.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
I figured. I think that part was already where it needed to be because it's Lemmy. But yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough. I figured. I was like, I bet he likes these bass lines. Anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, again, we talked. I'm sorry, but we talked about that before because he plays it more like a rhythm guitarist than bassist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the bass playing was good. I dug it. Mm-hmm. I also just, for me, I think the difference. You know, not that I also know the discography that well, but whereas, you know, we started off saying like this album could go in so many different directions. I think there's a difference between that and like the mid period Motorhead, where you could say like they know like which directions they are going in, and they're going in all those different directions. Like, you know, it's not a punk band, it's a punk and a metal and a hard, you know, and like a blues and like all these different kinds of styles that they are incorporating in a very sort of intentional, conscious way. Whereas here, it's just kind of like they're wearing their influence. You know, Lemmy's doing his thing, just having come from Hawkwind. You know, like he hasn't, you know, shrugged that off yet, obviously. Like, you don't need to put Train Kept a Rollin' on a record in 1977 if you're a punk. You know, you don't. Absolutely not. Not that Lemmy needed to consider himself a punk, but you know, the part of this record that I find most appealing is the punk stuff. Like, I think it's just really, really well done. So, anyway, it's okay.
It is. And you can, as Ben said, you can see the seeds of all the stuff that happens after this already here. It's certainly better than my debut album.
Yeah, mine too.
As I mentioned from time to time. But... And it was also 27,000 years ago in terms of what the industry was like. And
it was
at least my daughter would ask, was anyone alive back then?
Roughly
the ziggurats and shit. But anyway, so while the production is, a couple of you noted, is very much an artifact of its time, I still think, man, I don't know. I'm going to sound like that guy. I would take this over a lot of what's on the radio. This were pumped in every elevator in the world, we would be better off.
Yeah.
Mandatory Motorhead. Or mandatory suicide, one of those two.
Perhaps so. Shall we talk about tracks?
I think we should. There are some. There's eight.
Mm-hmm. There's a few, yeah. Not as many as some, more than others. I mean, you know what I'm going to say. Take the Ride is so short, but like really the standout tracks are, in my opinion anyway, are Motorhead and White Line Fever. I like the cover of Train Kept a Rollin' just because I was not expecting it. And I like that song, period. So, you know, your mileage may vary.
Take the Ride is so short, but I think it opens up Motorhead. I like Iron Horse Born to Lose and White Line Fever. That's a good one too. And the Train Kept the Rollin' is a fun song, like Ben said.
So I think my favorites on here are from side A, Motorhead, Vibrator, and Lost Johnny in particular. I'm also a fan of, Train Cup of Rolling is okay, and The Watcher I think is good.
I don't have a lot to add because I'm just a broke-ass sexual chocolate Ben clone. So I'm going to co-sign on Motorhead and White Line Fever. I like that cover too. I don't know. I'm also going to co-sign. Just do it. I mean, it's 33 minutes. If you can't handle this, like, just quit. By quit, I mean, like, don't be alive. I don't know. Just do it. It's 33 minutes. Just get out of the amusement park entirely if you don't want this. But, yeah, I love the Motorhead is such a good opener. I thought Lost Johnny was okay too, but yeah, I think Motorhead and White Line Fever are the really standout tracks on here. Because as I said, I'm just like, you know, if Ben's not available, I'm his understudy. I don't know, something along those lines.
Something like that, yeah.
Yep.
Grades. Are you ready, Tracy?
So ready. Locked and loaded for years.
Off of his white ass head.
I can see it too. I know. I don't know if he's doing a drone strike or about to put grades in. It's hard to say.
Both. Yeah. What's the difference?
drone strike on chickens. I mean, the next logical step.
Decapitation. Cluck. So I found this to be incredibly enjoyable. I mean, it's, you know, as the guys were saying at the beginning of the recording, this is kind of right up my alley. With that said, it is still a little rough around the edges. Super fun, not really groundbreaking. I mean, maybe it kind of was at the time for fusing all this shit together, but I don't even know for sure if that's true with this particular album. But with that said, I'm going to go a B minus.
I'm actually going to come up a hair. I'm going to give this a B, and I think that's, I'm giving it a historical legacy bump. And I'm a whore for brands. So, yeah, I'm going to give this a B. It's good shit. It's probably actually a B minus, but I'm going to give it a B anyway to make the Dean mad and because I think it's just important. So,
I'm right there, Ben. I'm going to give this a B minus as well, just because while it is pretty good, I think there is some room to grow. And I don't want to be like, it's an A, you know, whatever, but it's way too high. It's not as well, but this is a solid first effort, but I do think it's just a first effort. I think there's better stuff out there for them.
Yeah, how's your debut album? I'm sorry, I'll shut up.
It's amazing, don't you know?
Oh, you're damn right. Chicken Drone Strike Cluck Apocalypse. It is a good album.
Yep.
Cluck Apocalypse. So I think I'm also going to land at a B on this one. I was, you know, just trying to think of how much I liked it compared to the other records we listened to by the same band, and it's not that it's bad by any stretch, but I don't think it's nearly as fun as those other ones that we've heard. Even the ones that I didn't think were as successful, I think they're just more interesting than this is. And you know, I'm probably gonna regret it anyway, but I will give this a B.
Hell yeah. The Dean thanks you for helping me corrupt the spread. Oh man.
So the truth out there. So the truth out there, David hired Gay to fight great inflation.
It's a long game.
To help great inflation where it's really needed.
That's some seven dimensional chess shit, Tracy. Like that's I would buy this. This
average is 83.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, I would also buy this.
I might.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? That's the It's an album, everyone. Look it up.
It is indeed an album.
Oh, man. Speaking of albums, what's our next album, Tracy?
Next is Curtis Review for your pick of February in KMFDM's new album, Let Go.
Bleeps and bloops, man. I know it's Gabe's favorite thing. I can see it's the ultra heavy beat. Oh, my God. He just hangs up and goes into the murder basement behind him. We hear some drill sounds, and then I realize
I'm far to go, man. It's not far to go.
You hear some drill sounds, and you realize that could have made this album, it came at the end, more interesting.
That's so true.
That's fair. This is when I realized I'm in that room. So, man. Well, it sounds like we figured it out, guys.
We have. Tune in next time on Thunderdome Metal Reviews.
Motorhead, all right.